You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Stephen Powell, Andy Holding and Dale Gibson in the studio. It's Exeter, Ludlow and Kempton on Tuesday afternoon. We'll finish with action on the turf at Brighton in the evening and an all-weather card at Wolverhampton. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
Hi, Mark Walton. Very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks.
Yeah?
Yeah, the flat season's kind of kicked in.
It's about time, isn't it?
Well, I'm more of a jumpsman, really, but it's about the kind of time of year where you think, yeah, I don't mind a bit of flat racing now. Get some sunshine out, get the horses running on the turf.
Yeah.
Speedsters involved.
Yeah, definitely,
good
yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah, although you still look like you're in winter mode. Are you going to live in a cabin, perhaps?
Are you talking about the beard?
You're getting hairier by the day.
Yeah. Well, yes, it's true. It's growing more every day.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's how it works, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you not like it?
No.
I was told beards were cool, so I tried to be cool.
Well,
for the first time in my life.
They were until you grew one.
Single-handedly ruined it for everyone else.
That's it, yeah. Oh, no, news just in. Mark Walters growing a beard.
Yeah.
Shave them all off, lads. Shave them all off. No, it's looking good. It's just that I haven't looked directly into your eyes for quite a while. And here it is. No, it's impressive.
Thanks.
It's impressive. I was just saying about the hot weather. Does your face not get... I can't grow a beard, so I don't know.
Not yet, anyway.
No?
It hasn't really been cracking the pavement, has it?
Do you get a sweaty chin? Is that how... I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never been out in the sun with a big beard.
No. Well...
I'll report back.
No, please do, because it'd be a whole new experience, wouldn't it?
Mm.
So, yeah, like I said, I'm genuinely envious, because I just can't grow a beard.
Yeah.
It's a lovely beard you've got, though.
Thank you.
Very summery. Like I said, it is very much a winter beard, but I'm clean shaven. I might go get my hair cut in ready for the Guineas, I think.
Mm. Let's talk about the Guineas.
Yeah.
How do you assess the 2000 Guineas picture in the wake of the trials?
Well, it was rather an overwhelming weekend, or overwhelming week last week. Like I said, it does go from, there's not much flat racing on, to, all the horses out of nowhere. A couple of disappointments, it always happens, especially with the back-end two-year-old races being run on soft ground and stuff, and you're never quite sure what you're going to get. And a lot of impressive horses last year, a lot of impressive two-year-olds looked speedier types than you would normally get. It really is a long time for a racehorse between, you know, sort of October and November and the spring. A lot can happen over the winter. In terms of the 2000 Guineas, at the Greenham was by far and away the best trial you're going to get for it by quite a considerable distance, I thought. I think everyone's... I'm a little bit torn on it because everyone's kind of looked at Estacar because of the way Muhara finished his race and came out of the clouds. But on the flip side, it actually favoured leaders and speed over that trip over Newbury over the weekend. So mixed messages, but I think both Estacar and Muhara are going to have to go. Ivorwood is a bit of a question mark, I suppose. Interesting that obviously Richard Hughes rose, both Tiggy Wiggy and Ivorwood, both very good two-year-olds who were disappointed in their trials. And then he was stood down with flu, which would be intriguing. I'm not saying, you know, Richard Hughes is going to have that much impact, but if he's not necessarily on his A game and it's a trial, you're thinking, well, then maybe they weren't that bothered about him getting beat because it's not the day, is it?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking maybe Ivorwood and Tiggy Wiggy, there will be another day for them, clearly. I don't think people should write them off very soon. Whereas the rest of them, who had a bit to prove based on their two-year-old form, the likes of Muhara and Estacar, might well have, you know, had their World Cup final that day, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Could you look at it on the flip side, though, that Richard Hughes rode because they were expecting something to happen and then after they're both disappointed, you just thought,
No, because I think why wouldn't he ride them? He's got to ride them, hasn't he?
I'm just saying if he was under the weather and the only reason he's actually bothered to go and not take a day off is because they're expecting them to win.
Well, no, but I would imagine the reason they're not taking a day off is because he's just got to, he's the stable jockey, they're the horses. And if they said, look, it's not the end of the world if you get beat, if they really wanted to win that, they'd have put a 100% jockey on, surely, if Richard Hughes is thinking, I'm a bit under the weather here.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe I'm leaning too much into this, but I just get the feeling there'll be another day for Ivor to Tiki Wiggy. I'm not entirely sure they were that bothered about getting beat in the trials. But that, the time of that Greenham was excellent. I think that'll definitely work out throughout the next couple of months. And I probably would take Estacar out of it over Muhara. As for the Craven, well, it was incredibly disappointing, wasn't it? I mean, it was incredibly frustrating race, really, as it jockeys just seemed to fail to realise that it was very much a speed rail bias at Newmarket over those 2 days, and Richard Hughes did what he did on countless occasions, Tormore and all sorts of horses, and just said, fine, I'll just let me win the race, which they did. And Cool Company was a group horse last year, so it wasn't a great surprise to see him like that. I thought Mo Heat was given a terrible ride. He came out of the stalls. He was drawn in one. He came slowly out of the stalls. Instead of switching to that rail, he kind of hung around out the back, made all his challenge down the centre of the track on his own. This is a once-race horse. He probably needed a bit of kidding into it. It was one of the rare bad rides of the weekend for Frankie, I thought.
Mm.
But again, I think as a once-race horse, they probably thought, we'll just see what we've got, like Faydan a couple of the day before. See what we've got. If we can hit the frame, we know he'll strengthen up. So I honestly think the race is completely wide open. But I would probably take Estacar out of it. I don't think he'll win it, but I think he'll go close out of the trials. But it still looks very difficult.
Yeah. Because of that, some people would consider that it strengthens Glen Eagles' reputation at the top.
Without a shadow of a doubt, yeah. And, you know, he's been very heavily backed over the winter.
Yeah.
He was the first past the post at Longchamp before obviously being demoted, and rightly so, I suppose, but he's the one who holds all the aces. He'll be sat at home thinking, I can beat this lot, and he probably can, but that doesn't mean he will.
Okay, 2-1 for Glen Eagles, by the way. Elm Park 8s with Highland Retreat and Zorak, 9-1 for Estacar, Ivorwood, Mahara, and Oman River are 14-1, 16s are bigger for the others.
I would just say about Ivorwood, he does seem a bit, I mean, he's doubled in price there. On the back of, like I said, of a trial, I'd be half tempted to keep faith with him. But yeah, you're right, it does strengthen Glen Eagles' chance.
Who's on your shortlist for the 1,000 guineas?
Lucida from last year. Again, I think the soft ground definitely beat her at the back end of the year, and that form doesn't look too bad. And also, I thought Jellicle Ball ran a lovely race as well. Basically, again, there was a speed bias. It was very much you need to be up there and out there. She was inexperienced. She's never raced on the turf. She was held up out the back, and she came rattling home and just got beat. I think it was a very nice trial for a 1,000 guineas for Jellicle Ball. But again, much like Glen Eagles, if Lucida comes back to her best, then she's going to be very hard to kick out of fame as well. But yeah, I was pretty impressed with Jellicle Ball. There was a lot of talk about her turn of foot, and she showed it, but she was, again, just inexperienced, and the way the race was run beat her, basically.
Market looks like this, by the way. Found 5-2, 10-1 for Lucida and Together Forever, 12-1 for Jellicle Ball. Everdeer is 14s with Fair Dial and Red Start, and then 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. Easy for me to say. Looking further ahead, who are your fancies for the Derby and the Oaks?
God knows. It's hard enough picking winners out the day before, never mind months before. In terms of the Oaks, I'm intrigued by Beautiful Romance, who I thought ran a really nice race at Newmarket the other day in the Nell Gwynn. She shaped like she'll lead further. I didn't think she had the run of the race at all. Again, she was very inexperienced. The form last year was over a mile on soft ground. She had a lot to prove the other day, and I thought she ran a nice race. I think the extra distance will suit, and yeah, she intrigues me. As I said, I didn't fancy her at all the other day, and she ran well enough to make me think, okay, there's something there. As for the Derby, again, it's wide open, isn't it? I'm still intrigued by Sir Isaac Newton, who I thought ran a lovely race at Leopardstown last year. Got beat by Zorak, who's come out and bolted up since. They were miles clear of the rest, and being related to Secret Gesture, who was placed in an Oaks there, he intrigues me. But again, you just don't know, do you? I mean, he's entered in the Dante. He's entered in the Irish 2000. They could... They've just got a ridiculous strength in depth, and it's very difficult to work out what's going to come out of the Ballydoyle battalions. I mean, they've got 10 who could possibly win it. 10.
Yeah.
And it's just if not more. I mean, that's probably underestimating them as well. So yeah. But Sir Isaac Newton was the one last year I was looking forward to seeing again.
14-1 for Sir Isaac Newton, by the way, at this point in time.
Yeah, he very much has the air of a horse who will improve rapidly as a three-year-old.
Could Newbury score at Arab Spring develop into an Archon Melbourne Cup horse?
Possibly. Although I would have thought they probably would go Hardwick, then King George, the sort of harbinger route, as it were. It was a relatively unsatisfactory race, I thought. It wasn't run at a mad gallop. The favourite, the main market rival, tried to make all the running route, which Newbury around fast ground is quite difficult on the round course. Straight course, it's an advantage. Round course, it's a long, long way home once you're around that final bend. Pethers Moon travelled like a better horse than him. He just kicked in later on. It was a nice performance, but it was just a relatively unsatisfactory race, I thought.
Okay.
But he's bred to appreciate softer ground as well, which means regardless of the conditions at Royal Ascot, I think he'll be fine for the Hardwick. That was a Group 3. I think knowing Sir Michael Stout, I mean, again, personally, if I was taking my time with it, would win the Group 2, then win the Group 1 and work your way up, because he was only winning handicaps last year. But yes, he could do, yeah, just because he's that type of horse. But I think he'd be winning a King George first.
Yeah.
If he's going to go for one of those.
All right. Name one or two others that have caught your eye in the first few weeks of the flat turf season.
The horse of the weekend at Newbury called Lunacy for Luca Kumani, a horse who recorded a very strong time in a Lingfield maiden last year. And then first start on fast ground the other day in a handicap, finished sixth on its seasonal return. Just shaped very much like a horse who needed the run. He was keen. He was a little bit fresh. He didn't pick up when first asked. As I said, finished sixth at a strong handicap. He'll definitely win something nice. And also Ring of Truth, who, as a two-year-old, who finished second the other day for Richard Hannon at Newbury, got outpaced and then rattled home. I think she'll be a winning next time out.
Couple there then from Ross. And the final question of this week's Monday Jory from the ranks of apprentices. Who do you expect to do well this year?
Tom Markand and Rob Hornby. Hornsby. That's Bruce Hornsby and the range. Rob Hornby. I've been very impressed with the way he's been riding sprinters over the winter. And Tom Markand as well is going to get a whole load of opportunities for sure.
Yep.
Rob Hornby's intriguing. I think there's, because he's connected with Andrew Balding now. So, and Andrew Balding certainly has a talent for turning a talented apprentice into a rock solid jockey.
Fair enough. So that's the Monday Jory for another week, and we'll move on to Tuesday's action now. We'll get Ross's best bets across several of the day's meetings.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
On to Tuesday's action then, and the first race that we've picked out is the 220 at Kempton. This is a class 5 handicap over 5 furlongs for 4-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 7 here, Ross, and I was drawn to ask the guru to start with, who won at Lingfield, but then looked into his record at Kempton. He's finished last and second last.
Yeah, he's not a horse necessarily to trust. I think he's got the run of the race on his 2 wins at Lingfield. I would be swerving him. I think the key thing to this race is that it's going to be run at a rattling pace, mainly because Pearl Noir can't do anything else apart from just go as fast as equinely possible. This horse is ridiculous. Admittedly, that might work here. I mean, it's won its last 2 over course and distance, and it hasn't quite worked at Chelmsford and Lingfield. If they did quarter horse races, Pearl Noir would be rated 90 by now. He'd have won all of them. But he's going to get Triple Dream hassling him, I think, to an extent. And I liked the way Alpha Delta Whiskey shaped the other day at Wolverhampton behind Quality Art. It was his first run since November. It's won its last 2 over course and distance here at Kempton as well. And I thought he'll get a lovely toe into it here. Like I said, the problem is that Pearl Noir does have a tendency at this track to skip away and disappear before anyone's realised what's happening. But he hasn't been getting home on his last 2 starts, and it might mean that Alpha Delta Whiskey picks him up late.
Alpha Delta Whiskey then for Ross in the 220 at Kempton. The 310 at Ludlow is next up. This is a handicap hurdle for the Henley Hall Gold Cup, a Class 3 event over 3 miles. We've got a field of six here, Ross. Who do you like?
Yeah, this is not a great race, and I think it might well be within the realms of Jimmy the Jet Plane winning once again. He's gone up in the weights, which is more than fair enough. He's gone up £10 for two wins at Wincanton on good ground. He made very heavy weather of that second win. He was running without a penalty. He was very heavily backed, and he only got up in the dying strides. But I quite like horses that do that because it suggests that you might not have got to the bottom of them. He was then sent off favourite again for his next run. That was here at Ludlow on soft ground behind Mariana. And again, he looked like he was going to win, and then he just faded. And I just don't think the conditions were up his street. But he'll get better conditions today, and this looks a worse race. The intriguing danger is Vavit, who travelled very well at Fontwell and was outclassed at Cheltenham only a few days ago. But I think Jimmy the Jet Plane will bounce back.
Jimmy the Jet Plane for Ross in the 310 at Ludlow. The 425 at Kempton Park is a Phillies handicap, Class 4 event over 7 furlongs. We've got a field of 7 here, Ross, and not too much obvious recent good form. And with there only being 7 runners, it makes it a bit of a tricky shape to the race.
Yeah, it's definitely a trappy contest, that's for sure. All eyes are probably drawn to Elizona, James Fanshawe's charge, who kind of shaped like she had more to come last year, but she's one of those horses that always gets sent off a relatively skinny price. She won a maiden at 1-20 at Lingfield, which is ridiculous, really. Then was beaten on turf at Leicester, but ran a really nice race here over course and distance behind Brigley Adoro in a race that's actually worked out quite well for the grade. But she might have to give fitness edge to Pretty Bubbles here, who's just got a very consistent record around this track. Was third in a strong figure last time out behind an improving sort in the shape of Speculative Bid, and that fitness edge might well be the key. Speculative Bid's gone in again in a better race. Pageant Bell would be one to keep an eye on. I think she's got more to come for a new yard as well, but she'll probably need a drop in grade.
The final race we look at is the 6:45 at Brighton. This is a Class 4 handicap over the extended 6 furlongs, almost 7 furlongs. It's for 4-year-olds and older. Field of 6 here, Ross. Which one do you like?
Again, it looks a two-horse race, this, at Brighton. Mime Dance and Fleck Earl. And again, we'll go with the fitness edge in the shape of Fleck Earl, who shaped well at Doncaster, finished fourth behind Johnny Cavagin in a strongly run and competitive 7-furlong handicap. A little odd that she's not gone back to the all-weather, really. She's 2 from 3 on the all-weather, and you'd think a winter campaign would have been the obvious thing for her. But she's run around here before. She was beaten by Heavy Metal last year in a handicap. Heavy Metal then went on to win numerous handicaps and ended up rated in the hundreds. So she had no chance there. And as I said, I think the fitness will give her the edge over Mime Dance, who recorded a very strong time and winning a valuable handicap here last year and ended its season with a second at Epsom when I backed him and he looked all over the winner, got pipped on the post. So maybe I'm holding a grudge there slightly. But Fleck Earl, I think, has the fitness edge and will beat Mime Dance.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Ross. Let's just have a quick summary then, if you'll spin us through your selections for Tuesday one more time.
Yeah, we'll go for Alpha Delta Whiskey in the 220, Jimmy the Jet Plane in the 310, Pretty Bubbles in the 425, and Fleck Earl in the 645.
Superb. Thank you very much, Ross. Good luck and enjoy it on Tuesday.
I will.
There you go, the thoughts of Ross Briley on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear us all on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. with Stephen Powell, Andy Holding and Dale Gibson in the studio. It's Exeter, Ludlow and Kempton in the afternoon, and we finish the day with all-weather action at Wolverhampton and on the turf at Brighton. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.